What's up, everybody? Welcome to Smoking Weed and Talking MMA, coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is Jared. I'm here with my good friend Paul.
What's up?
We are smoking on some delicious herb here, Paul. Let's just jump right into our weed of the week. Let's not waste any time. Yep. You just took a fat hit on this little bong here we got of some, what was that? That was Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
The real Pineapple Express, bought at a dispensary. We were just talking earlier. Earlier before the show, how, like, after that movie came out, which I'm sure everybody listening is familiar with. Like,
everybody said they had some fucking, yeah. Yep, I got Pineapple Express, bro. Come through and grab some.
It's pretty funny. But this is legit some Pineapple Express, which is, Pineapple Express is a 50-50 Indica Sativa split, and it's a cross of Trainwreck and Hawaiian. How'd you like that? How'd that taste, dude?
I like it.
So we got a couple other herbs here today. We got some forbidden fruit, which is one of my all-time favorite strains. It's a really, really dark purple, mm-hmm. dark green, and dark orange hairs.
Fuck yeah.
And it's a cross of cherry pie and tangy. So it is just a fruit fucking blast. Mm-hmm. And that one's about a 70% indica, surprisingly, with about a 30% sativa in there. And, of course, we got a classic Girl Scout cookies.
Fucking making an episode appearance the last like 10 Absolutely. Episodes, bro.
But you can never go shit, wrong bro. With the cookies, right? And yeah, that, of I course, love is OG Kush, which is basically the backbone of most West Coast genetics these days, crossed with one of the last remaining pure sativa strains on the planet, Durban Poison.
I love Durban Poison,
It's one of my favorites, too. Yeah. Man, I've been smoking Durban Poison for years. I'm excited when we can see it in a dispensary out here. It's kind of hard to find.
Yeah.
It's easy to find it in genetics, mm-hmm. you know, but it's kind of hard to find it all the time in dispensaries out here. But mm-hmm. wherever you're at right now, we hope you're smoking some good weed too, like we're about to be. And most of these strains you should be able to find, if you're in a legal state, you should be able to find these in your dispensary out there.
Yeah.
Forbidden fruit can be a little rare, at least here in Vegas. But if you're in a legal or medical state here in the U.S.,
You should be able to find Girl Scout cookies anywhere. So.
And if not, you know, if you're not in a legal state or in a legal country, we've got a lot of listeners outside of the country. You know, hopefully you can trust your street dealer.
If you're in Canada,
he's selling you some Girl Scout cookies.
Sure, if you're in Canada, you got some. You're already on that good shit too.
Right, absolutely. Canada, First Nation, fully legal. Word to all our Canadian listeners.
Hell yeah, that shit's
absolutely.
Dope.
Well, man, I'm going to hit this Pineapple Express here. And we just came off a weekend of Bellator, the heavyweight Grand Prix finally coming to a close.
Yep.
This Bellator, what was it, 214?
Yeah, 214.
And that was Fedor Emelianenko at 42 years old, making one last run at
Ferrari. For a belt, yep.
Versus Ryan Bader.
Resurgence.
The light heavyweight and... Well, he was the current light heavyweight champion at this heavyweight tournament. 32-second fight. What did you think of that while I hit this?
I think Ryan Bader has made really put all the odds in his favor. I mean, he came into this fight. This is the last fight in his contract. He bet on himself here.
That was quite a gamble. Last fight on his contract.
Didn't renegotiate. Although the general consensus is that he's going to stay in Bellator and continue his career over there. I wouldn't mind him coming on back over the UFC saying, fuck you guys, I told you I was good enough to get paid like these top guys now.
Yeah.
And when you look at the light heavyweight division, you've got nothing really. If you have the UFC, if you're the UFC, you go out, you offer Ryan Bader a legitimate number, and then you got some big fights for him there. Because then you have a familiar face. And then on top of that, he's already got a fan base in the UFC, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. So although some people won't necessarily know who he is, there's also people that be like, I don't really know him, but I've heard that name before, you know what I'm saying? So I think it'd be real smart for the UFC to go out there and try to bring him back. Will they? That's going to be tough because he's really seems like he's real happy over at Bellator. But for legacy purposes... I would go back to the UFC. But what a performance last night. Obviously, it really ends up being one punch, but still.
But still, it's against the legend himself.
He fucking busted him up pretty bad for that. Only being one punch. Well, he hit him with, the knockdown was one punch, and then he hit him with some pretty nasty shots on the ground, but they're just like two or three. That's what was crazy, dude. Because the actual initial knockdown's not what busted his eye open. It was when he came down and fucking rained those shots on him. And his eye was fucking leaking for a second, man. Holy shit.
Sure was.
He was down for a minute. Fedor, he was on, like, he was getting medical attention for a little bit.
Even leaving the cage.
Yeah.
It was pretty bloody.
Sad to see that happen to him, but at the same time, it's passing of the guard, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The sport's passed him by.
I agree with you. I think it would be dope if Ryan wound back up in the UFC and had those big fights, because he actually holds three belts over there now. I mean, he had all three on display last night. He's the light heavyweight champ. He has the vacant heavyweight title was awarded to him because he won the tournament. And they had, of course, the Grand Prix belt that they awarded.
The Grand Prix belt was sick.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I was happy to see him win it. As for Fedor,
I think this is the end of the road.
I was thinking that beforehand, and then after the fight, I learned a few things. One is that he actually had to ask Vladimir Putin if it was okay to come back and fight in Bellator, because he heads up some MMA thing for Putin. He has like an actual government position there.
Uh-huh.
And so he had to meet with the president and ask permission to leave and go fight. And now his contract is over, and I would have just logically guessed that he might have to go back and ask again, because he did what he said he was going to do, and now it's at a close. So you combine that with coming off the loss, and of course he's 42. I mean, he's still competitive. It's not like
coming off two losses out of his last three fights.
But he does have two out of his last three fights, exactly.
Or no, last four fights.
No, last four. It was before the tournament. Yeah, obviously he won through the tournament.
He lost going into the tournament and then lost in the finals. He had two wins in between.
Yeah, Mitrione. Yeah, Matt Mitrione, right?
Matt Mitrione beat him, yes.
So overall, that was pretty exciting, though. I thought it was a... It's hard to say it was a good fight, because it was 32 seconds and then it was over, and it was basically a few punches. But
it wasn't a good fight. It was a good performance.
It was a good performance. I enjoyed the card overall.
Yeah.
I think there was some good stuff out of there. I think Ryan Bader's gamble really paid off, and I'm glad for him.
Yeah.
One thing I really liked seeing last night was this missing from the UFC was things like the fight banners. And if folks listen, if you don't know what that is, that's when fighters come into the cage and then they drop the banner over that's got their sponsors on it and all this other shit. And these guys get paid for that. And they sign sponsors up. And I mean, one guy, hell, he must have had 10 sponsors on there. Some of the others had 5 or 6. And they're all getting something.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're getting some kind of chunk of change from that. And I'm happy to see that. I think it's part of the fight game that I miss. You know, the fight game always reminded me of NASCAR. You know, those guys come out and they got shit all over their cars from sponsors that they're getting. Mm-hmm. And I never minded. I didn't mind that in the UFC or in the fight game ever. You know, boxers do the same thing. I mean, back in the day, you used to have the boxers with the GoldenPalaceCasino.com tattooed, fake tattooed across their back and shit. Remember that, man? Like, they're literally selling space on their fucking backs. And I remember Sam Alvey tried that once in the UFC with the suntan lotion thing.
Yeah,
it wasn't a fake tattoo, but he put sunscreen on, so it had a sponsor on his back. But anyways, I missed that. So I like watching that in the card last night, you know, because it was a pretty big deal card for them with Fedor in the big tournament. So
yeah,
that's dope. I hope all those guys got paid.
Well, I'm sure that's going to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, for Bader especially.
Because
he might be able to market himself a bit more when he can parade around with those three belts.
Yeah.
Not only that,
he's already fought all the guys that have created his resume in the UFC. If he were to go back, and maybe he's not... I don't know. I think he's definitely progressed over the last, three, 4 years he's been over there. But overall, I don't know if he's progressed enough to beat someone like a Jones.
So I don't think he can beat John Jones.
That's what I'm saying.
We're talking about John Jones here, but...
Well, here's the thing. If I don't think I can beat John Jones, I wouldn't go.
Yeah, me neither. I'd stay and try to milk those sponsorships and that champ
But at
status.
The same time, although he did get beat up like pretty bad by Jones, it wasn't like he was never out of that first fight, really. He was still competitive. And I just wonder,
is improved
he's become a lot stronger too. And is like, I just would like to see it. You know what I'm saying? Just to see really where he's actually at. You know what I'm saying? Because he's dominant in a Bellator that was being ran by a guy who's a nobody in the division anymore. You know what I'm saying? McGeary was running that division before all these guys from the UFC kind of flooded that light heavy. That's what's crazy, yeah, though. Light heavyweight division is the UFC's old light heavyweight division right it now is, in yes. Bellator. You got Phil Davis, you got fucking, Vader. King Mo never went to the UFC, but he's someone that everyone wanted to see in the UFC. You had Rampage in there for a second. You had Tito in there for a second. Right. You had Stephen Bonner in there. Like, it was filled with all, like, UFC dropouts. So, really, Ryan Bader is going to fight guys that he knows he can beat. You know what I'm saying?
My guess is he stays over there in Bellator as well, although the fan in me would like
think
to
he,
see him
you
back.
You think he defends both belts?
I think Bellator will let him do it. Because they want to be different than the UFC with the champ
thing. I feel it.
UFC is known for stripping all these guys right away. It's happened every time. I could just see Bellator doing the exact opposite.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. That's put a good him point. Out there and be like, yep.
Well, that puts some big fights on the table because there's still some guys in both weight classes that nobody's fought yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Bader could still, although Mir's coming off two losses, I don't know, it'd be a fight that would sell.
This is the thing about heavyweights, Mir can be coming off two losses, and he's still a dangerous fight for Bader. I mean, I think Bader beats him, but that's still who...
It's still dangerous, yeah.
That's still a good fight in Bellator. Frank Mir's a legit fighter.
I just don't want to see him in Mitch Rione again, I don't think.
No.
That just wasn't very competitive.
No, I don't think Mitch Rione can, I don't want to see that either.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you kind of drop off to that guy who just KO'd Mir.
See, the heavyweight division there is pretty shallow, so he could defend both belts, too, because it's not like he's going to, is he going to hold up heavyweight, really?
No.
I mean, how long did they spend without a champ over there, for goodness sakes, at heavyweight?
Yeah, for real. It's been a while.
You know.
It's just been, like, vacated, though.
Yeah.
Who was it? The guy who was in the...
He didn't want to fight anymore.
Uh-huh.
It was just like, nah. As far as
I'm good.
Heard,
yeah.
That's what I heard it was. He was like, nah, I'm good.
So they had that vacated belt. That remember that was around the same time that Will Brooks left, too, and they vacated Will Brooks also.
Yeah.
So Bellator left itself without two champions for a while. I mean, although Michael Chandler has been, like, the lightweight champ since. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now they need a face of that heavyweight division, so maybe they do let Bader hang on because he's not going to have to fight as often at heavyweight because there's not going to be that many guys who's really put on a show to fight for a title. So maybe he only fights at heavyweight once a year, but no one really cares because there's no one out there at heavyweight making enough noise to where it's like, ooh, that's going to be a good challenge for Bader. You know what I'm saying?
I bet that's what they do, yeah.
Whereas at light heavyweight, there's still guys, although it is kind of run down like in the age like perspective, there's still some guys in there that Bader can end up fighting.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying?
I thought the I think that wraps up the main event. I thought the co-main was pretty entertaining. We had known in the WWE as Jack Swagger.
Oh no, that wasn't the co-main event. Pico was.
I'm sorry, we had Pico. Yeah, I was thinking.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's dive into Aaron Pico, fight. That was.
We've sad. Already dived in this pretty far.
Yeah, I mean it is what it was. You know, he got reckless. He got knocked out. I think it's. I'm just worried.
I don't care.
Down this path.
He's 4-2. He's 22 years old, dude. Come on.
He's shown to be. He didn't learn from that first time, though. I mean, he. That's my only concern. I'm not.
I'm telling
his
you.
Skill set. He's got all.
I'm telling
the skill
you, it's two
in
different situations. In my opinion, it's two different situations.
Standing
the first,
in a pocket swinging wild in
yes,
both occasions, ultimately.
Ultimately, yes, that is true, but you can't count that when you're... Because it's two different sequences in a fight, and it's two different thoughts in the brain. No one, he wasn't going in there trying to finish the fight in the first fight. He just went in there and was a deer in the headlights and got someone who was seasoned and in the octagon before, who was ready to go, went out there and just overwhelmed him because he had adrenaline dump as soon as he stepped in the octagon. Everyone saw it. He looked like a deer in the headlights. He came out. He was wild because he didn't know what he was doing, and he got put away. In this situation...
Right. I just think he should have learned some lesson there. I agree with
well,
you
no,
said,
because
man.
It's two different situations. Because then, listen...
But
just
not at
listen
the ultimate end.
Hold on. Let me make my point, motherfucker. This is just like earlier. we were having this conversation off the air, too, and you were doing this shit to me, too.
I'm terrible.
Dude, Listen, so then you build the story of, you know, oh, he's a young kid, it's going to be okay. But then he comes out, has two devastating liver shots that were two KOs. Everyone goes, holy shit, we were all wrong. You know, he's not just a young kid. He's really everyone who they thought he was just fighting a guy who was more, you know, basically how I explained the first fight.
Right.
And then so you go into that fourth fight, and then he's fighting the guy who just came off a split decision loss to the champion.
Right.
So
this fight before this last.
Yeah,
last
so night, he looked composed weekend. In that fight, pushed the pace, and put that guy away. So going into this fight, everyone's like, okay, basically he's the number one contender, because we had been talking about before, there's no rankings in Bellator, unfortunately, so no one really knows. You put three or four wins together, you get a title shot in Bellator. It's really crazy. But my point is, he's not ready for this. Like, he's only fucking... That's his sixth fight last night. You can't have... And you can say what you want about his opponent, but that dude was fucking legit. He's put four together.
Oh, he was. I agree. He was legit.
He absolutely put four together, and he's another guy.
Picks. Like, it was 50-50 for me.
He's another one of those guys who was another seasoned vet, had been there before, and had overcome that in the past, and it didn't shake him mentally. So where Pico is just not there is he's a young kid, and he doesn't understand the idea of you have to constantly be smart but be dominant at the same time. All he knows how to do is be dominant right now. He just tries to go out there and completely dominate, shut people out.
He tries
and
to dominate not, well, through one area.
That's what I'm
only.
Saying, yeah. Just he's, one he's area. Trying to, he just tries to go out there and make it look like no one can fuck with him at all on the feet, and it's not even – it's don't even think about wrestling me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he comes out with that confidence that was ultimately his downfall, yes, but his confidence was partly built up through media and Bellator telling him he's the fucking best thing since sliced bread, dog. Like, he's fucking not, like,
you've been hearing about
you know what
it,
I'm saying? Here's the thing. Right. Like, yes, he's a great prospect, but what did we just call him? A fucking prospect. He's not ready to be the champion yet. Yes, he has just as much. He has just as much talent or more talent than everybody on their roster, 100%. But everything that those guys have above him is the mental fortitude of being in the octagon before, being hurt before, being in a submission situation before, and
like
finding ways to get
fight.
Out. Yeah, and finding ways to get out, because you can't really count the first fight, though. He was dazed. I'm talking about just facing adversity in general. He's never before. That first fight was a flash knockdown that went into a submission. This fight, it's a flash knockdown. He's now he
well,
knows
he was
that
out
in these.
Conscious.
Yeah, that's
out
what I'm
cold.
Saying.
In the
that's,
first fight, he wasn't out cold. He got subbed.
Yeah,
he
but
got
it,
dazed
he was pretty
subbed.
Out in the first
in
one.
This one, he was.
You know what I'm saying, though? You get what I'm saying? Like,
the
these guys, like
off.
That guy last night, we were talking, you were saying that he had, what, four losses in Bellator?
He lost three or four in a row, was almost
yeah.
going to get cut, turned it around, and won
turned
like
it around,
straight,
and now he's won five straight. Yeah. Well, my point is, that's a big lesson on his part, because he took three losses, and he was pushed to that edge where he said, this is all I have left, and he's come back and put all these wins together. In a similar situation, I think Aaron Pico needs to learn from who he just fought, because that guy faced serious adversity, came back and put on the performance he did last night, not only in the fight, but in his total career. You know what I'm saying? In Bellator, that's the league to redeem yourself. Like we were talking about before, yes, he would have some trouble in the UFC. I do think he could still beat quite a few people in the UFC, but at the same time, if he's going to get these losses like this, it's best to do it now. It's best to do it in this promotion. And it's best to get it out of this way and learn these lessons while you still can. Because him being such a great amateur athlete fucked up his opportunity to become an amateur mixed martial artist. And that's his biggest problem.
I think you're misunderstanding my point, because I don't disagree. Well, I disagree on one very minor thing that you said, but otherwise I agree with everything that you just said. You called it overconfidence or his confidence. I at this point will call it ego. And I'm basing that not just on the fight alone, but his attitude after the fight at the press conference, where now he's taken two losses. We'll just call them similar. Okay. They're under different circumstances, but they're similar in the fact that he got rocked and dazed and then lost the fight. He started saying all the right things. I should, because if people are listening, if you're not aware, Aaron Pico has world-class wrestling.
World-class.
Like,
Like, he could go be in the Olympics next
year. Openly stated that his team and his team's strategy is to not use it except to prevent the takedown and to base everything on his striking.
Yeah, that's extremely stupid. I agree with you there.
Like, wow, that sounds like a not very good plan. When he gets so confident, like, before this fight, you're right, his other fights, he seemed to take them much more seriously. But this fight in particular, and this is why I almost picked against him, he kept talking about fucking Pitbull. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm coming for that title, and I'm going to fuck
you
up. Yeah,
and I don't think he's ready for that at all.
You should be worried about this kid in front of you, because this guy's pretty legit. Mm-hmm. And he bulls forward, and he keeps talking about his power. And in the press conference last night, he's like, I'm more powerful, I'm more powerful, I'm more powerful. He might be, but that doesn't mean that you make poor shot selections because you think you've got an iron chin.
Yeah, I feel you.
Because his shot selection at the end was three left hooks to the body. Well, two left hooks to the body, and then he tried to swing one kind of like a hybrid hook uppercut to the head. And any fighter at the level of Bellator, when he sees that's coming from Pico and he's got him tied up, you know that that right hook is open. You know that that straight right hand is open, which is what he threw and got.
Well, here's the thing, too.
And the reason Pico did that, though, isn't because he doesn't know. He's a very skilled striker. He knows he did it because he thinks he can fucking take the shot and he doesn't have to worry about this guy. And I'm just saying that attitude has me concerned about his future if he doesn't correct it. And at the press conference last night, he started off saying, yeah, I should not do that. I should rely on my wrestling. But then immediately went into all the reasons why he shouldn't and why he should fight for a title right away. And it has me concerned is all.
I think his biggest mistake of that entire fight was that stupid clinch. The way he clinched that dude's head and the dude clinched him back was high school street fight bullshit.
That guy recovered much quicker than
oh yeah, 100%
realized.
And he hit him with
basically
a
when he stood up, he was fine.
And you cannot deny, although he knocked him out dirty, he hit him with a perfect fucking shot, dude. That knocks everybody out. It's not like he's got a weak chin or anything. That hook knocks everybody in that division out cold. I don't care who you talk about. That knocks everybody out. And I think his biggest mistake was just the laziness of that clinch. Because if he would have kept him in tight and was holding him tight and hitting him with those body shots and then coming up to the head and not having much room for him, you know, not having much room for error there because it's harder to, you know, as on the defense, you're so defensive when you're already rocked. If he would have had him tighter in the clinch and was hitting him with bigger body, like, you know, closer, harder body shots, I think he could have put him away. But he got lazy, got sloppy, like a young kid's always going to do, and he paid the price.
That's why he should slow down. I think we both agree this is why he should slow down that title talk in his next
fight. Well, here's the thing.
Fight after.
Here's the problem, though. You can never go down from here because not only...
Look at Michael Venom Page. He's a fucking hell of a fighter who's managed to fight a lot of people without rushing to a title.
Here's the problem. Not only can you step down because of beating Higo, but also he can't have...
He just took a loss, though.
Even Scott Coker said anybody below the top 15 will not accept a fight with him.
Who's their top 15?
You know, in his mind. You know what I'm saying? In his mind.
Coker decides.
Yeah, in his mind, they're top 15 guys.
If you don't know why, everybody, I said that, folks, there's no ranking system for Bellator.
Everybody below, he says, will not fight. He said he's tried to give Aaron Pico multiple warm-up fights to get him into the octagon, get him some experience, and nobody will accept the fight. The only person who accepted the fight was two weight classes ahead of him, and that's what happened in his first fight, and it fucked his career up almost. And that's the thing. There's no stepping down from here. That's
Pico
the problem.
Was saying something, not in disagreement with that, but he was saying he doesn't want to fight anybody on his level. He only wants to fight people way up here.
That's a good
which
part.
I admire.
I admire it, but at the same time, you got to think about this kid though. In his, all right, let's just break it down this way for people who do not know. Let's just talk a little bit about his amateur background and where he's come from.
I'm not disagreeing with any of his,
but you know what I'm saying?
Credentials.
No,
a world-class wrestler. He's a good amateur boxer.
Well, let's just put it this way, okay? So he was a Golden Glove boxer when he was 13 years old.
Right.
Switches to wrestling. Started wrestling when he was 13 years old. Like, he had done it, like, casually before, but started actually, like, you know, putting his mind to it and wrestling at 13. He's... drops out of high school because he's too good. He's beating everybody walking through everyone, decides to drop out of high school and start training with the world team, wins FILA Worlds at age 16. Right. That is a college tournament.
It's amazing. Yes.
At 16, does that. Then he goes on and wins a world and places in the world championships when he was 19 years old, wins the Olympic trials. Then it gets there was like a best out of three situation, and he like lost based off of a technicality. So then we don't, if he would have won, we would have gotten into the Olympics, but the guy he lost to was an upset and he didn't qualify because we didn't qualify the weight class in the United States.
Yeah.
So technically that the technicality cost him going to the Olympics and America taking that weight class to the Olympics. So you got to think there's never really been a time in this kid's life that he has not been dominant. So his attitude is always going to be that I'm going to go out there and dominate. And that's also a I get what you're saying. It's definitely a problem. But my point is, no matter if in his mind, if he thinks that he's dominating or not dominating, he's going to project the idea that he's going to come out and dominate no matter what. No matter if he comes back in this whole situation, he's never going to come back and say, I'm not as good as these guys. Even if he's been back in there and like in his head, he knows like I need to step up, and he's never going to come out and say, I'm not as good as these guys, because no, he's always been better than these guys.
That's not what I'm saying. It's, you just went through all these amazing wrestling credentials, fucking amazing. And he's used how much of it in mixed martial arts to this point? And he's actually saying he's not going to.
I agree with you.
Because he's in love with his fists, which is an, I guess it's not just an ego problem, because his coaching is also backing him up on this plan, apparently.
I don't understand that either. Because
Eddie
coaches,
Bravo was trying to tell
him otherwise.
Well,
here's the thing. I don't understand either, because his coach is Mark Munoz, who's also a wrestler. So it's like, what the fuck is going on?
And he went
on
out to Bravo, who repeatedly told him the same thing. Don't fall in love with your hands. Take them down. Take them down.
Yeah.
I mean, and admittedly, in the press conference yesterday, he did. And he put on an Instagram post where he said, I need to use my wrestling more.
Yeah.
And we'll have to see.
That's the point.
The moment yesterday, it was just a press conference. He's coming off a loss.
We'll have to see, though.
Shit.
That's the thing.
But if
you know?
I just hope to God, please do it, because you could really be dominating these motherfuckers. But if you keep rushing into motherfuckers and standing in a pocket and swinging, there's a 50-50 chance you're just going to get knocked out in every fight you do that in.
At other good wrestlers in the Bellator roster that have similar like credentials or close in wrestling like level, look at a guy like Darren Caldwell. He mixes his wrestling with his strikes and dominates in that fashion. Look at a guy like Ed Ruth, very similar. He uses his wrestling to set up his striking and vice versa. And he's also put together great performances in Bellator Cage. So it's like you see these guys who are on your level and your peers not too long ago, and you see the success they're having while integrating their wrestling, which honestly – he's got it, obviously, as a step above Darren Caldwell. Ed Ruth was a great wrestler, so I don't know. They could be close. Yeah. So, but my point is, you see some guys that were your peers and are somewhat inferior using wrestling skills and having tons and tons of fucking, you know, success. And then you look at yourself and you're not using those, and you're having two devastating losses. And yeah, you've got your wins, but at the same day, you gotta start using some of that shit to get to the level of these other guys that were once inferior to you, but now you're 100%. Inferior to them. You know what I'm saying?
Let's hope to God he does, man, because I want to see this kid get ahead. So I think we've exhausted the Aaron Pico discussion with that. And let's hope he starts implementing those skills that we know he's got.
He has them. That's the thing.
He can beat
That's
everybody.
The most frustrating part of all this.
Absolutely.
He has everyone always talks about he's got all the tools to be great. Fucking use them then.
Please.
Like, God damn it.
Well, now let's talk about the aforementioned, as he's known in the WWE, Jack Swagger. That was another big part of last night's card.
Yeah, Jake Hager.
Yep. He won.
He won.
He won against
he faced adversity too. He got stuck a couple times, but then he had some nice elbows and some solid striking, and then ultimately took him down and used what he knows best. That arm triangle wasn't like the best technique, but it wasn't the worst.
He was fighting
either.
The guy who was 1-1, I believe.
Yeah,
he's not a full time professional fighter. I mean, the man has a job. In the world. And
I'm sure you got paid pretty well last night, though.
Both our asses at the same time. He's a big ass heavyweight.
Yeah.
But I think it was a perfect opponent for someone like him to come into MMA.
Well, and they did this similar with like Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. And he's like, unlike CM Punk, this is a man who has legit wrestling credentials. Mm-hmm. Even though it's been, he spent 12 years in the fake wrestling, prior to that, he's extremely legitimate wrestling credentials. I mean, he always wins over fucking Cain Velasquez.
I was going to say, you like, beat
he comes from a storied wrestling community.
Yep.
You know, he grew up literally on the street with other wrestling legends.
Yep.
The Hodge Trophy, he said he'd wrestled against that dude's grandsons, for God's sake, come from the same town as these people.
He holds a pin record at Oklahoma.
Still. Currently, right? Yeah. So, I mean, and he's 6'5".
Yep.
He's got an amazing frame.
Supposedly, he said, this could be the WWE talking to him. He thinks he could beat Lesnar in a wrestling match.
Oh, man. I don't know about that. Lesnar's a little bit more seasoned in the
You see, Lesnar... Oh, wait. I hate to be off topic, though, but I have to bring this up just because of wrestling. See that Lesnar is in Minnesota's wrestling room training with the number one ranked heavyweight in the nation right now.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Fucking Lesnar, dude. Everyone thinks
he was looking pretty sporty, too, actually.
Yeah, he looked in shape, dude. He looked in shape. And he was hanging in there, but that kid's fucking tough, dude. Yeah, he's going to be a four-timer, I think.
Yeah.
But Lesnar, he's fucking was in there, dude. So, I mean, people keep talking about, is he going to come back? Is he coming back? If he's not in there fucking rolling with kids who are 20 years old on the top of the game, and I guarantee you he's going to come in there and try to fucking wrestle DC. Guarantee you. I guarantee he's going to try to wrestle DC. It'll be a terrible mistake, but that is what he's going to try to do.
There'll be some shit if that fight goes down. But swinging back to
Hager. Go back to this kid.
It was good. I think his opponent hung in there good. He should hold his head high. You know, nothing to be ashamed of. Dude, put up a fight.
Yeah. It was a good setup fight, you know?
He's a bit older. I mean, he's 35, but heavyweights can be older. Yeah. He could legitimately fight for the next 5 years, I mean, and compete at a pretty high level, especially because I don't think he has a lot of the wear. Like, WWE is hard on the body, but not in the same way as if he's coming off 12 years of fighting or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
He probably still has a chin on him.
Just hitting. This is the cookies.
Girl Scout cookies.
Girl Scout cookies. No, switching things over to cookies here, folks. So I'm interested. I want to see his next fight.
Yeah.
I hope they match him up appropriately, but I think they will. Bellator overall seems to have a pretty good track record of matching.
Yeah. As
appropriately. So.
Oh, absolutely. And they've got plenty of guys. They got plenty of guys to build his resume.
There's been several guys. Yeah. That they could match him up against. So.
Yeah.
He's uninjured in a fight.
Like we were just saying. Quick. They don't really have many people making noise at that weight class at Bellator. Maybe it'd be nice to see a new face or two, you know?
Yeah, it would. You know, I think Scott Coker's done an amazing job over there. Like, I've become much more interested in Bellator over the
Well, if you look time. At the same basic thing that he did over in Strikeforce, he had Dave Bautista go over there. He had got him two fights that were somewhat favorable to him,
well,
and Herschel Walker as well. Yep, and also Bobby Lashley. He went and fought Lashley damn near. I think he was 8-2 in Strikeforce and was on the cusp of a title shot.
He's legit. Yeah.
So, he's had guys like this in the past, and he knows how to. That's why I'm not worried about Aaron Pico whatsoever. Too, I hate to bring him back up, but that's also why I'm not worried about Pico either. Because
he's much better than Dana
Scott Coker. It has a good way of developing his talent throughout his divisions.
Yeah, he's like the opposite of Dana White. Dana White was trying to match Sage Northcutt with Damian Maya.
Well, here's my point too: is look at all the guys at the top in the UFC right now. 90% of them are from Strikeforce, literally. Yeah. Like heavyweight, we're doomed. Fucking.
Doom, DC was
DC,
pre-heavyweight champ.
Alistair Overeem, so many different guys came over with that Strikeforce deal. Luke Rockhold, Gegard Mousasi, although he's back at Bellator. He was in the UFC, was doing well for a while. There's tons of different guys. Ronda, Misha Tate, tons of different people that really have established the UFC and brought it to the peak it was at, I think. What, 3 years ago was probably the best year they've ever had.
Scott Coker was putting shit together.
Yeah, honestly. Well, so Scott Coker's talent. The Diaz brothers, dude. Like, come on. Like.
Yeah, Nick, of course, was a Strikeforce champion.
Yeah, I mean, I know Nate wasn't in Strikeforce, but still, he fucking Mayhem Miller, dude. Remember him?
Oh, man, that dude. Jason Mayhem Miller. Remember he used to do that bully beatdown show on MTV?
That shit was funny.
Man, that dude went off the fucking wire.
Oh, he's crazy now.
Man.
He's like, don't call me ma'am.
Remember they found him naked in the church? Yeah, what was that, like weird. 2 years ago? They found him, like, the pastors or priests or whoever had to call the cops.
What?
Because fucking Jason Mayhem Miller was inside the church, stark ass naked, what, and vandalizing fuck? Shit.
Oh, hell yeah. No.
That's fucking crazy. And then he had a standoff at his house recently,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, where police are outside, he's refusing to come out. That dude, he needs something, like some kind of meds or some yeah, fucking some herb. Shit. Like, he needs yeah. to be smoking, brother, something, yeah. man. Should get stop on that CBD.
Crack.
Get off them hard drugs, maybe. I don't know. Lay off the roids. Whatever the fuck is going on.
I mean, he's one of the darker days of Strikeforce, but other than that, Scott
skills too, man.
Yeah, remember, Scott Coker has had a lot of great guys that have come through his leagues and gone on to do great things in the UFC.
Yeah, and he's continuing to fucking put good shit together.
Absolutely,
over in Bellator.
I mean, we got. Couple good cards coming up after this too.
Yeah, we got the welterweight tourney
still trucking. You know what's kind of strange? I was listening to Ariel on his new show talked about this, and I totally agreed. The one problem with these Bellator tournaments, they're kind of built to where, yeah, they're tournaments, but it's almost like a ranking system for those weight classes, because when you look at it, these tournaments. They're year long. Like if you yeah, were having if you were having like a legitimate tournament, you'd do like a PFL. You know, you'd have every first round fight on the same night, every second round fight on the same night, every third round. I mean, and then barring injuries and other things of sorts like that. But Bellator is doing it a different way. So like last night's event, it began in LA with Rampage and who'd Rampage run the first?
Chael,
yeah, I think maybe. Yeah, but either way, it started in the forum, and then every fight was actually already timed out. The dates were already set, but they just were announcing what fights they
were.
What fights
were going to fill in that spot. Yeah.
So going up to now, it finishing at the forum in L.A., it was a one-year journey, they said, that started in L.A. and ended in L.A. So, like... You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Yes, it was a tournament, but it was built out like basically when you really think about it, on March 5th, the UFC
it wasn't
is having
conducted in a typical
yeah,
tournament structure.
Exactly.
That's basically what we're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, basically when you think about it, on March 3rd, fucking the UFC is having their welterweight tournament. It's a fight. It's a card with six welterweight fights on it. Very similar to basically what Bellator is doing, but they're rebranding their weight classes. And giving out other belts and other shit like that. So it's like,
yeah,
it builds these stars. And I think it's one of the concepts that maybe the UFC should start picking up on, but they're just too damn stubborn to ever follow something
They'll
that Bellator
never do
would
something
do.
Bellator does.
You know what I'm saying?
At least not with Dana White at the helm. But so when do you think Bellator is ever going to implement a ranking system? Because I think they're getting to the point now where they kind of need one.
Do they, though? Because
yes,
it,
in my opinion, yes, you need something.
Not necessarily, because sometimes the matchmaking puts you in, or no, the rankings puts your matchmaking in peculiar situations, because sometimes people put on better performances than someone who is necessarily the number one contender, and then you get into strange situations when you have a number one contender who's healthy and you just don't think he's ready for the title shot, but he's beat everybody. Like, kind of similar to Khabib before he beat Michael Johnson. He was kind of the number one contender at lightweight. Everyone was like, yeah, he's undefeated. Let's see him beat somebody else. Let's see him beat somebody else. Let's see him beat someone else. That's a, like,
know
you know what I'm saying?
Sorry. I don't know if he would have been the number one contender, though. But, I mean, like, imagine boxing
you get what I'm
without
saying,
rankings,
though?
Like, how would you...
Well, no, I'm just saying in MMA it makes sense because you are the promoter and the fucking... You run everything. In boxing it doesn't work because there's 100 different fucking... people out there, and they're all free agents and different, you know what I'm saying? Rankings matter there, but when you have an open weight class where you're just basing it off momentum, you have so many different cards in your hand as a matchmaker and a promoter, rather than you watching one guy who's beating people, but he's not beating people convincingly enough to where, but he's still moving up the rankings because he's...
Well, he wouldn't necessarily be moving up the rankings just because you're winning fights. I mean, it all depends on your competition and who you've got voting on your rankings.
I don't know, dude.
When you've got a panel of educated people, unlike the UFC.
That's what I'm saying. The UFC's has put them.
But that's the UFC's their fault. They chose a bunch of people exactly. nobody's ever heard of.
That's what I'm
still,
saying.
All these
but
years
you cannot
later,
deny the UFC ranking has put them in some peculiar situations sometimes. Very similar to what's going to happen in a couple months.
But it's just rankings. You're not. It's not rules. Like.
Yeah, but in the
how many times has the UFC skipped the number one? Look what they just did to Colby. He's the number
one contender. That's what I was talking
about.
So I'm
saying, but it just illustrates that you don't. It's you don't.
Yeah,
have
but
to
in the in the public eye right. though, still.
But you have to have some semblance.
It causes public uproar though in the situation of Colby's fans and shit like that are like, what the hell? That he deserves
fan,
that. You know what I'm saying?
For me as a fan, and as a business, I think you want to get to that next level. Casual fans, people need something they can understand, and I just prefer it.
Yeah, I feel you.
Even when I disagree with it, as long as they're willing to not be a slave to the rankings, like you just can't.
That's the problem like, you run into, though.
A lot
what I'm
of
saying?
Mandatory defenses in boxing wind up being some chump.
That's what
that
I'm
gets
saying.
Knocked out, but then that's where if you take the UFC's model, which is flawed, but they're not a slave to the rankings. You don't have a mandatory contender.
Sometimes we do though.
Some people get fucked over, which is a bummer. Like Colby Covington, love him or hate him, got boned.
Yeah.
Like you can't be the interim champion and then just be like, nah, you're not going to fight for a title or be the champ no more peace, dude.
Trying to fight Darren Till.
So, and yeah, the UFC ranking system is terribly flawed, but that's correctable. Like that's the UFC's fault. It's not just that the rankings inherently are flawed is they have a bunch of people nobody's ever heard of voting.
Yeah.
You know, but I think,
that's
a matter of opinion.
That's
I don't
my
think there's
point
a right
then.
Or wrong.
That's my point you know? Then. Bellator, you have this great desk staff and this great set of fighters that you have doing your commentating now. Have those motherfuckers do the rankings then.
Dude, yeah. I would be down for something even more like that, of fighters and coaches doing rankings.
Like I was talking about before. Like
as long
football.
As you can't like rank yourself.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
You know, because you can't be like, oh, I'm the number
one
contender.
Well, there's
bitch.
Only
so
two. There's only two
rule.
Active fighters that are on their you know, commentating
there
staff. There's only Frank
I was
and
about fighters on the roster doing the rankings. Fuck.
Oh no, I was thinking like, yeah, that's crazy. You can't.
You could.
That's intense.
As long as
because
you
some
you
guys
vote
are
gonna
some guys are gonna push their teammates more than others.
Yeah,
similar
probably.
To like. You know
probably
saying?
If you follow that high thought through to the end, it probably doesn't make sense. But for the moment, it sounds like it's all right.
Because if, all right, so I was put in this situation. If it was like, if it was my team, if I was that fucking American top team and I'm Colby Covington, I want fucking all my homies to be at the top of the rankings. Or not Colby Covington.
No,
he
you're right.
Everybody.
Yeah.
All right, if I'm Tyron Woodley, I want Anthony Pettis at number one at lightweight. Just because he's my homie. I want Ben Askren number two in my own weight class just because we're friends. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so yeah, play it out. That idea doesn't work. But they need something better than the UFC's choices. But
I don't know.
In my opinion, as a fan, I want to see it. In yours, it sounds
I'd like
you don't
to see
really
like
care,
a media. I'd like to see the media start to pick something up and do like a media ranking. Like fucking, I told you college football does. A media ranking, and then the coaches.
Yeah, they have a MMA Media Association.
And then whoever, and then kind of put together a team, whether it's former fighters or coaches or like just like kind of once again like college football, like the selection committee that just you know does the weekly rankings. You know, it's not that fucking difficult. I don't get why the fuck they like have such a hard time with this rankings. Like, god damn it.
I don't know either.
It's it's something that's been done in so many different sports for so long. So it's like, how's there issues? Like, god damn it. I get it. You're only like 25 years old as a company, but god, just follow the goddamn blueprint and shut the fuck
UFC
up.
Does a lot of like, hard things,
they
but...
do some dumb shit, dude. Sometimes.
Well, let's shift out of MMA for a minute into just some general combat sports. We had some pretty interesting jiu-jitsu news coming from Bravo's combat jiu-jitsu tournament. We had some fucking pretty interesting fights that were announced.
Yeah, it's the first one is Gordon Ryan, who's fucking everyone knows. Well, I mean, if you don't know Gordon Ryan, he's a fucking phenom, son.
It's a pretty niche thing.
He's part of John Donahue's death squad.
Yeah, he's top level.
Yeah, he's a killer.
I mean, he's beat everybody from Dylan Danis to Josh Barnett to...
Everybody.
I mean, I think he's 109-7 is his record overall in jiu-jitsu.
That's right, ridiculous.
Now. Yeah, it's absurd. And he's bulked up incredibly over the years. Like, he's gone up from like 170 to now he's fighting Josh Barnett. If you don't know who Josh Barnett is,
so, UFC Barnett is former heavyweight.
Yeah, former heavyweight champion. And he's a very large man.
Yeah, like, he's a big mofo.
He's
it's like Frank Mir size.
Yeah, but he's not like muscle big. He's like naturally that big.
Yeah, he's like a fucking lumberjack.
Yeah, dude. He's not like defined and muscular at all. He's like Tyson Fury kind of. He's not 6'9", but he's built like that. Like he's just a big motherfucker. Yeah.
It's like a farm boy.
Yeah, like a big catch wrestling farm boy motherfucker.
Yeah,
and but then
he's fucking.
And he's a extreme.
Gordon good. Ryan's he's going against the fucking legend though. Fabricio Werdum. Coming back to the jiu-jitsu scene.
Yeah.
But this is combat jiu-jitsu. It does change things. Where Werdum has the legitimate hands, and I mean, you can't punch, but you could slap, but I...
Yeah, this is combat jiu-jitsu.
Like, dude, I think Nate Diaz should start doing this shit, dog.
Open-handed strikes.
Imagine Nate Diaz in combat jiu-jitsu just like triangling people, just
pow. Doing a Stockton slap.
Stockton slapping motherfuckers, dude.
If there was ever a jiu-jitsu dude, style where the for fuck? Diaz, this is combat.
Come
shit.
On, Eddie Bravo, what brother? The fuck are you doing?
What are y'all talking
Get
about?
Your boy Nate on there.
Yes.
Smacking bitches.
Oh my god, I could watch that all day.
Oh, it'd be hilarious.
See him tie somebody up right up in a train.
This is bah!
Smacking the shit out of him.
Oh, but sick, this is, but... this. I think it being a combat jiu-jitsu match really is in Werdum's favor. Although Gordon Ryan's on the top of his game and most likely is going to win this, I think Werdum could win this possibly off of points by using his physicality and his fight IQ, but still, obviously.
Yeah, folks, listen, if you don't know who Fabricio Werdum is, not only was he, a lot of people can make the argument that he was the greatest heavyweight MMA fighter of all time. I'm not saying he is, but people can make that argument. There's a legit argument
there
for
is.
It.
He and beat two he goats.
Is, and he is also
Was he the first one to beat Fedor?
Yeah, and he beat Fedor bad.
Yeah,
and he beat
And he also beat Cain Velasquez.
Velasquez, yeah.
He was about to do it a second time too.
And he's also a multiple time world champion jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people think he's one of the absolute best jiu-jitsu practitioners, not just in heavyweight, just period in the world. He's just been in MMA now for a while.
Which so begs the question: how much has he been focusing on his jiu-jitsu?
Fucking shit in jiu-jitsu. I mean,
yeah, I think Gordon Ryan wins this shit for sure. But I think Werdum gives him a hell of a fight.
Yeah, I'm excited. Like, I like jiu-jitsu matches. I can get excited. And this combat stuff that Eddie Bravo's put together has got me excited. That's
it's a four-man tournament.
Yeah, Josh Barnett, the aforementioned Barnett.
He's fighting.
Barnett just beat Dean Lister. I mean, he still holds a victory over fucking Dean Lister recently, which is amazing. Like, folks... We don't have to go into history, but just another absolutely amazing world champion jiu-jitsu practitioner that Barnett beat. So we've got Gordon Ryan, Fabricio Werdum, Josh Barnett, and I'm not really familiar with the fourth guy in this list. It's Rustam. I'm not even sure.
I don't know how to say his name.
I'm sure he's very highly qualified, but there's
Rogan was saying he's hella dope, so I'm sure.
You know, it's hard to follow if you're not.
I doubt Eddie Bravo would put someone who is not extremely talented.
No, he's definitely with the other three extremely well-known and highly qualified people in this. You can figure he's the same.
It was originally going to be in Mexico, but now it's going to be in LA.
That's
February 22nd.
LA. And is there a decent purse on that? Do you know?
It's like 20 grand, but that's not 25 somewhere else. So I don't really know if it's been defined.
Seems a little low. I mean, that black belt CBD one we just saw was like 30,
I wonder if it's each.
Maybe that.
I wonder
sponsors.
If it's each.
They might have more weight
match,
classes
though.
And matches because there's only like two checks handed out at the end of that.
Yeah,
it's easier to split it up that way, the men's side and the women's side.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be intense.
I'm sure there's an undercard.
It's gonna be on Fight Pass, I'm pretty sure, because Eddie Bravo's shit's all on Fight Pass.
That's sick.
Yeah,
I've been digging that for sure.
So,
well, that's
he's been doing
dope.
A lot of these super fights. I like it.
I like it too. That's pretty dope. I'm
and
excited.
Good
to
for
Werdum
for finding something to do outside this USADA fucking suspension.
Yeah,
he's
currently
been
on drug suspension.
He's been
steroids.
Begging for his release, but the UFC just won't do it. He also told them he wouldn't accept fights in America. He said, just let me go fight in Japan. Like, I don't care. Like,
he's a controversial figure outside of MMA too, which I don't feel like talking about. But I can see it where the UFC loves and hates him at the same time.
Well, he puts on great fights, man.
He does put on good fights.
And he hit Colby Covington with a fucking boomerang, which is always a plus in my book.
Well, man, I'd say that about wraps up our fucking show today on that little bit of laugh. You can always laugh at Colby Covington's expense. Yeah,
always. Ha ha.
Certainly want to thank everybody for tuning in. We've had a lot of growth in our listeners lately. We cracked 20,000 listeners, and we're growing every week. And we appreciate each and everybody tuning in, whether it's on WBUZ 95, some radio.net, the Orange Radio app, Thursday nights, 6 p.m. here in Vegas and on the West Coast, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern time zone. Of course, you can find us on all the podcast outlets, iTunes, Google Play. And if you like video, we're on YouTube. All that info is at SWATMMA.com.
Also, if you want a t-shirt like this, head to SWATMMA.com, click gear, and go grab yourself one.
Absolutely. We got several shirts available, some more coming out. If you like us, if you like the podcast, that's a great way to show your support.
Hell yeah.
Hope you're smoking on some good cannabis yourselves. That's what we're going to get back to. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Peace. Like, subscribe, do all that shit.